a lot of the food that I shoot tugs on nostalgia. So a lot of times we'd just be telling stories and like, oh, remember how when we were kids, we'd have red, tender, juicy hot dog on rice, and then it leaves the red stain on the rice. Like, it's just little things like that, these little differences that separate a good dish from an amazing dish. It's like when you know something has to have a good bite or crunch, and you know, when you get that, it's so fulfilling. You know, like if you're having fried chicken and you get like a good bit of skin, like a nice crispy bit of skin, that's almost always like 100 times better than a piece of like soggy skin.
Sa tingin pa lang, busog ka na. What kind of stories are there in food photos? From Quezon City, I'm Christine Chung. This is Tech A Break. Sit back and wind down while we serve you stories on art, music, culture, film, and podcasts. It's so much more convenient today to have food delivered to your doorstep. From your small businesses selling ube cheese pandesal, your friend selling cookies on Instagram, to your favorite ramen chain selling to-go kits. You may also have been trying new recipes online or trying the latest quarantine food trend, such as Dalgona coffee and sushi bake. For these reasons, food pics may be dominating your news feeds. Everyone appreciates a good food pic, but how much work goes into it? And how else can we look at them beyond hitting like? A professional food photographer walks us through the process. Here's Sonny Thakur.
Hi, my name is Sonny Thakur. I'm a photographer and photo editor. For me, a good food photo is something that gets you excited, something that gets your mouth watering, something that gets you wanting to eat. But if we're going to dissect, I guess, the visuals of it, and like a good meal, a good food photograph has to have balance. I've had the privilege of working with chefs and really talented food stylists. They really do a lot of the work for me, and I'm just there to bounce ideas off of them. So a lot of the work does come from them, and they deserve a lot of credit. It's extremely collaborative in nature, and it's never just the people who are immediately working with the food.
You might be familiar with the flatlays na may cooked dish na may kasamang iba't ibang raw ingredients. Sonny shares his feelings about that food trend.
I think whenever we look at food, we tend to look westward. We look to the US and we look to New York specifically. So there was this whole restaurant trend, I think, in the 2010 and onward, where a lot of these hip Williamsburg cafes would plate food on wooden boards. They had this very like almost Nordic aesthetic, and a lot of the visuals would be all the ingredients on the plate or all the ingredients on the table. And it worked for a while, and it takes a lot of editing, meaning you don't have to put everything on the table. However, I don't think people got the memo when that trend arrived here. Like, there's no mood. Like, I wouldn't eat my cooked roast beef on the table with raw vegetables, you know, to give context to the dish. Like, I feel it takes away, in fact. Like, it's just very, oh, let's just throw it on the table para people will know there's carrots in there. I just never found those images appealing.
More than making the photos visually appetizing, a good food photo tells a good story about the people who made it or the locality that surrounds the dishes.
If I'm consuming images on Instagram, for example, if I'm looking for food photography, I know it's an interesting image when, first of all, it gets me to stop. It gets me to blow it up or to look at the photographer and try to find a copy outside of Instagram so I could zoom in. And then I try to understand like what's on the plate or what the person's eating or what the person photographed. There's this photographer, his name is Marcus Nielsen, and he does a lot of editorial shoots, portraiture, he'll do in a lot of food as well. And if you look at his food, he'll do ingredients, he'll do chef or cooks during their staff meal. And there's a lot of information on a lot of his frames, whether it's a wide or a close shot. So an example of one of his wide shots is meal service. All the cooks are eating food that they don't normally serve in this restaurant. Like it looks like a fine dining restaurant, but a lot of the cooks seem to be South American or Latino. And so they have like a spread of tortillas and tacos and mole and all sorts of food that they're used to, but they're consuming it on a table where they work at, where it's more fine dining versus, you know, in the same story, you might see a close up where it's just a plate and it gives you an idea of what the area is about based on what's on the plate.
Sonny says, kung paano tayo mag-react sa isang bagay, that speaks volumes about how we give meaning to it.
There's a series of images that I made with Trinka Gonzalez and Mel Jimenez. We worked on fish together. Mel broke down a lapu-lapu for us and then prepared dishes with that and other fish. And the setting was very important. It's like a market carinderia. Your tables are covered in these like very gaudy oil cloths. They're almost like, I think they're vinyl. And they're extremely colorful, very floral. They have like very tropical patterns. They're really beautiful. And the contrast of fish against that, one is like, it's really nice to look at, but also we had a scene where we had like a ceviche, like a kinilao dish up front, and then two bottles of beer. And it kind of illustrated, you know, inuman, this experience of sitting down with a friend after a long day and having a nice snack. And I think we did it really well because a lot of people were like, wow, like I could use a cold beer, or it'd be so nice to like have kinilao right now. That's one image that I think a lot of people appreciated.
To sum it up, good food pictures have to do more than to look nice. They should tell us a story of the hands that made it, or perhaps the culture that made it and preserved it. How we react to them also reveals something about us. How connected are you to the food that you eat? What kind of story can you see from the next food pic on your feed? It's time for weekly highlights. Nandyan ka pa? We just dropped our third episode of Sa Fish My Forever, a podcast on small-scale fisheries and its impact on communities, brought to you by Rare Philippines, in partnership with Puma Podcast. Here's a sneak peek.
It is also important in the disaster risk concerns because it serves as a buffer for huge waves coming at us, especially in times of mga typhoon. It protects the entire land area because it serves as a buffer zone.
Listen to the rest on Sa Fish My Forever, Episode 3, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Anchor. Imagine trying to translate financial terms like compounding interest, returns, inflation, and investment risks to your mother tongue. Mahirap, no? Bakit nga ba Ingles ang ginagamit sa ating banking services? Pisonomics just dropped its second episode that talks precisely about that. Let's listen to a short preview.
May scholarships na binibigay ang ilang mga academic institution kung saan pwede mag-aral abroad ang mga kababayan natin kahit noon pa. At dahil sa ganong klaseng mga influence, ang hirap ihiwalay tuloy na ang mas mabuting buhay, ang mas maunlad na buhay ay may kakabit mo sa dayuhang kultura. Nakasabay naman nun ay nagtuturo rin ng isang dayuhang wika.
Peaceonomics is brought to you by RCBC in partnership with Puma Podcast. Listen to more of Peaceonomics available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Anchor. That's it for weekly highlights. I leave you with one unsolicited reminder. Take it easy muna. See you! Thank you.